Good morning. Buenos días. ¿Cómo están ustedes? So, hay discípulos hispanohablantes aquí. Saludos de parte de tus hermanos y hermanas de Nueva Jersey. Me llamo Rayola. My name is Rayola, as Jim said. So a lot of things I was going to say to introduce myself, Jim already said. But that's my name. And the reason I put it up there is that sometimes people hear it, they don't know how to spell it, not sure how to configure it. So that's my name. I'm not sure why, because it's a pretty straightforward name, kind of like Jim Brown. Rayola Osanya. It rolls right off the tongue. My full name actually is Rayola Ogawa Gor Osanya Nyinek. But I won't burden you with all that. Now, friends also call me Rice. And that's a nickname I picked up in elementary school. And you can call me Rice as well. You know, Rice is nice. You can say it twice. Add a little sugar and spice. But anyway, that's me. You can call me Rice. You can call me Rayola, either one. And so as Jim mentioned, I was baptized in Brooklyn as a teenager. Brooklyn actually is my mother's hometown. And after that, I was on the mission team to Kenya. And so the 10th person baptized After the mission team arrived, baptism number 10 was Georgianne. And you know, she was so wonderful that I decided to ask her to marry me. And she took enough pity on me that when I asked her to marry me, she actually said yes. And as you can see from this picture, once upon a time, I was young. And for Georgianne, she is forever young. Georgianne and I have the privilege in New Jersey. We live in Bayonne, New Jersey. I've heard some of Kevin Finnerty's legendary stories about his exploits in Bayonne. And that's where we live. Bayonne is our home. And so we're in the New Jersey region. My wife and I have the privilege of working with the single ministry in New Jersey, the Single Sisters and Brothers. And it is a privilege, it is an honor. We love being with the singles. Do we have any singles here this morning? Do we have any singles here this morning? Amen. And, you know, it's always amazing for us, I know for me, to come over to be with Jim. Jim is my great friend, my brother, my hero. James Walter Brown III. And you know, it's an honor to drive across the Hudson River and come over here. Jim, of course, once swam across the Hudson River. I am not thinking of trying that anytime soon. In fact, I'm not thinking of trying that anytime ever. The George Washington Bridge suits me just fine. And I think that's why they built it, so that I wouldn't have to jump in the water. And there's just so much encouragement here in Westchester. I know for my wife and I working in the Edge, we get to work with Bim and Nicole Toolawi as they spearhead and oversee the entire Edge ministry for the New York City Church of Christ. And yeah, they're just so awesome. And they do such a great job of keeping all the region's single ministries just unified, focused, and working together. You know, TJ, last year the Single Brothers in New Jersey decided that they wanted to have their own midweek classes. And so we had to get the very best of speakers, and that meant calling TJ. And so TJ crossed the Hudson River. He didn't swim. He took the bridge. But he came over, and he imparted his wisdom on us, he challenged us, he encouraged us, and he left us better than he found us. I know Merwin Richard is part of the ministry here. He's my former boss at Advanced Garden State Cardiology, the best cardiology practice ever. And, you know, he's a boss, a friend, he's a brother, and we just had great times together. I think I was kind of a distraction when I was his office manager, because we ended up spending so much time talking about missions and ministry and hope worldwide and faith, but we had a great time together. You know, Kevin, in my first year as a disciple, Kevin Finnerty, I used to see him at the campus devos. And he had this t-shirt that said, I believe that was Kevin, that said, "I am a fool for Christ." And it was a really nice white t-shirt. And the collar looked like it had been through a few more extra spin cycles than the rest of the t-shirt. And then Andy and I were together in Brooklyn. So I know Andy from way back then, from the same period. And you know, in Brooklyn, it was called a Brooklyn sector at the time. You know, Andy was just always smiling, just like these days. She brightened up Brooklyn with her radiant effervescence. And I know she does the same here in Westchester. Lalan Mubiala. You know, he is a legend at UNFPA, the United Nations Population Fund. So that's where I work now, and that's where he used to work. And the other day I was at work, I was in the office, and then I hear all this noise coming from down the hall. And I'm wondering, like, who on earth is that? Who unleashed the Energizer bunny in our office? And as he came down the corridor, I saw that it wasn't quite the Energizer bunny. It was Lalan, kicking up a fuss, bringing his zip and zeal and zest to the corridors of UNFPA. You know, Bill Murphy, I call him the professor of poetry, the Royal Raj of rhymed verse. Chris Williamson, he's my photography buddy. And Chris seems to know everything about everything. And so I say, why Google when you can ask Chris? And so many of you are just great friends. It's always great to be back here, to spend time with you, to learn from you, and just for me to soak in your infectious energy and your energetic love. And so this morning, with your permission, I would like to talk about shining in missions. And so that's the title. And as we talk about shining in missions and we prepare for special contribution, I'd like to share with you my little special contribution poem. Can I share my special contribution poem? Thank you. So here it goes. It is a time to make decisions based on our individual deep convictions that regardless of any current afflictions and in proportion to our financial conditions, it is a time to give as we shine in missions. As those who advance God's great revolution, we've taken a stand and made a resolution that we are going to be a part of the solution and give our best for special contribution. Amen. And I'm just so inspired because here in Westchester, you dig deep and you give big to support missions. Mission work in the Caribbean, in Africa, and in so many other places. And you don't only do it, but you do it again and again and again. You are a beacon and an inspiration. In fact, this year, I heard that you guys were so eager to give your special contribution that you brought it forward by 1 week and said you'd give it a week before everyone else next Sunday. God bless you all. In sub-Saharan Africa, your sacrifice has produced 95 churches in 38 countries with a total membership of 13,385 of your brothers and sisters in Christ. A lot of incredible work has been done, and a lot more remains for us to do. I have a short video here, and Geneva will help me play it. It's from the Africa Missions Association.
Greetings from the African Missions Association and the 35 churches that are in partnership with our brothers and sisters throughout Africa. God is moving in a powerful way, and we're going to share some good news about things that God is doing throughout Africa.
Some good news from English-speaking West Africa. We are so excited that we're in our third year of our School of Missions program, and this December we're going to graduate our first set of 16 young men and women who are going to go out and lead different churches all around West Africa.
And we're excited to share in that in April last year, we planted a church in Owerri, Imo State, and right now we have 27 disciples in that church.
We have some good news from East Africa. We are so grateful for the growth that we've seen in our campus ministry as they've grown into serving the brothers and sisters in the church and out in the community. And also just excited that we've been able to send out interns to boost the work in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And for the very first time, we look forward to appointing elders and teachers in the month of June.
Last year, we had the largest attendance of teens come to Swamp Camp from all over East Africa. And last year, we had 16 teens baptized from the church in Nairobi. We thank God so much for that. Thank you for your support.
I bring you greetings from Southern Africa. It's amazing how God is working. The church in Johannesburg recently had a Bring Your Neighbor Day with almost 2,500 people attending our services. Also, God brought a couple into Mozambique in the church of Maputo who studied the Bible and got baptized. He's a church minister who leads a church up in northern Mozambique of nearly 800 people. So please be praying that God does great things with that.
Nous vous apportons les salutations des frères et sœurs de l'Afrique francophone. Dieu est en train de travailler d'une manière extraordinaire. Nous sommes maintenant 4823 disciples. Et cette année, Dieu nous a permis d'avoir 500 nouveaux frères et sœurs et nous avons restauré 60 frères et sœurs.
L'Évangile continue de travailler puissamment dans la vie des femmes, de leurs familles, des adolescents, des étudiants et des célibataires en Afrique francophone.
Que Dieu vous bénisse.
Amen. And so on behalf of every one of your 13,385 sisters and brothers in sub-Saharan Africa, I just really want to say a huge thank you to Westchester. You are building congregations and making disciples of every nation. And depending where they are in Africa, they are saying Eshe, Hamusa Ganalo, Asante, Tatenda Chaijo, Zikomo, Murakoze, Danki, Shukran. Thank you, Westchester. And thank you in advance for giving next week as you continue to shine in 2019. Amen? And so shining in missions takes conviction. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, so I'll move right along. There's a summary of it up on the screen, or you can turn to your Bibles. This is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul says here, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you." The Apostle Paul says here that we are taking a stand on the gospel and we are holding firmly to it. In other words, we have deep convictions about the gospel. We preach the word and we share our faith because our convictions do not leave us the option of remaining silent. In Philippians 2, 15 and 16, Paul, writing again, says, "You will shine among them like stars." We're talking about shining in missions, right? And he says, "You will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." At one point, I remember back in Kenya, soon after we had planted the church, I had just been in a spiritual funk. And my faith wasn't in the right place. I wasn't in the right place. My head, my heart, things just weren't where they needed to be. And so one of the brothers told me to do a Jericho-style prayer. You know how the Israelites walked around the walls of Jericho? Once a day for 6 days, and then seven times on the seventh day. So I found a route, and I went around that route, prayer walking, every day for 7 days. And so much changed. You know, at the end of that 1 week, I remember going for Bible talk at the 680 Hotel, where we used to have Bible talk. And that day I had 12 guests showing up at Bible talk. And one of those guests was a young man called Kephas. In fact, he was the last person I invited as I was on my way in for Bible talk. He studied the Bible, and he got baptized. That's his baptism right there. And then a few days later, he baptized his friend, whom he had reached out to, and who became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Kephas kept sharing his faith. And then he reached out to a young man called Jarrett, who was preparing to go to the university to study architecture. Jarrett became a disciple, and he got baptized. And then Jarrett reached out to his classmate in architecture, William, and William got baptized. And I'm sure you remember William. He preached here in 2017, in September. And he was also on that video up there. William shared his faith with his elder brother, Tom. Tom became a disciple, and today Tom is an evangelist leading one of the churches in East Africa. William's an evangelist as well. You know, as Jared kept sharing his faith, he reached out to his brother, Michael, who became a disciple and is now an evangelist. He reached out to another William, who also became a disciple, and ended up spearheading our work in the country of Eritrea. Jared also reached out to Paul. Paul is an evangelist and leading one of the churches in Kenya. Four of Jared's siblings are disciples of Jesus. Next month, Jared and William are going to be appointed teachers in the kingdom of God. They've been trained by Steve Kennard and others, and they will be the very first teachers in the church in East Africa. I think that's awesome. You know, one day I was walking through University of Nairobi, and I invited a guy to come and play frisbee. And he turned out to be a member of the university swim team. So he came out. There was a lot of frisbee in the early days of the church. So he came out. He came out for frisbee, and he thought frisbee was amazing. We suggested we study the Bible, and he thought the Bible was even more amazing than frisbee. He became a disciple of Jesus Christ. He reached out to Anthony. Anthony became a Christian. He later married a sister who was a single mom. They then had two more children. All of their children are baptized disciples. And next month, the same Sunday that Jared and William will be appointed teachers in the kingdom, Anthony will be appointed an elder of the church, part of the first batch of elders in East Africa. And I just want to say that when we take a stand on the gospel and hold firmly to the word, we shine and our convictions bear much fruit. Shining in missions takes compassion. Still in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul continues and he says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." The Apostle Paul reminds us that Jesus died for our sins. We owed a price that we couldn't pay. And Jesus paid a price that he didn't owe. That's compassion. Over at my workplace, I'm a trainer in our workplace program on dignity and inclusiveness. It's a voluntary thing. I do it because I believe in it. And so we talk about within the workplace at the United Nations, being inclusive towards individuals from the LGBT community, persons with mental health conditions, persons with disabilities, and persons with a history of substance use. Before that, I worked for Hope Worldwide in Kenya. I was in the ministry for a while, and then after that, I was with Hope Worldwide. And we ran a program for HIV prevention and treatment. And one of the parts of that program that really meant the most to me was addressing stigma and discrimination. Because there's a lot of stigma, there's a lot of things being said against and done against people living with HIV. And it's just not right. And those are some of the things that I've stood for. But if you rewind to a few years earlier, when Georgiana and I arrived in Rwanda, it was a different story. Now, Rwanda, as the map shows, is in Central Africa. And it took me a long time to really give my heart and give my best. Because when I got there, I ended up reacting negatively to some of the customs that I saw and some of aspects of the culture. I was stuck in my prejudice and my bias. I was in the country as a disciple, trying to shine on missions, trying to help people and bring change. And yet, who needed to change first? It was me. By the grace of God, I eventually did change. My heart changed. And I started to see the people for who they were. Wonderful, beautiful people. But also sheep without a shepherd. And what they needed was the love of Christ and for me to show them love. When my wife and I arrived in Rwanda, it was shortly after the genocide had ended. And in the genocide, as you might be aware, about 800,000 people were killed, slaughtered in the space of 100 days because of their ethnic identity, physical appearance, or political sympathies if they expressed anti-genocide sentiments. If you're not for us, you're against us. And one person who became a Christian while we were there was a widow. As my wife met her, she was a widow. Her husband had been poisoned. And that's how she was widowed. She was a single mother. She had a son and a daughter. And so what happened during the genocide is there would be these death squads, and they would just descend upon a home or a church building or wherever they could find the people they were targeting. And if your home is targeted, you scatter. There's no time to make sure everybody's together. You just run. And this particular sister, when their home was attacked, she ran, other members of her family ran, and from her vantage point, she saw this death squad catch up with her father. Then they made him dig his own grave. And she saw that. Then they injured him. And then they came back and finished him off. That's who she was when my wife met her. In fact, for all that she had gone through, she had vowed never to step in church again. But she stepped in church. She studied the Bible and she became a disciple. And that was many, many, many years ago. Last year, her daughter became a disciple and is your sister in Christ. Now, maybe that's not what your neighbor is going through, but your neighbor is going through something, because we all are. And what your neighbor needs, what my neighbor needs from us, is compassion. Shining in missions takes courage. Still in 1 Corinthians 15, so if that's the only book you brought to church today, you're okay. 1 Corinthians 15. If you lost all the other pages, you're good this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. And it says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." It's about courage. Let nothing move you. Many times in Scripture, we find the words, "be strong and courageous." It's a command, it's an encouragement, it's an exhortation. Be strong and courageous. 108 times in the Bible, it says either do not be afraid, or don't be afraid, or don't be faint-hearted, or do not panic, or do not fear. The people of God are called to courage. Thinking of our time in Kenya and in Rwanda, I would say that my wife was courageous, and I would say that she still is. When the church was planted in Kenya, she left her family faith, her family tradition, to join this little church of foreigners. That was pretty much a little startup. And that takes courage. After her baptism, she put aside her scholarship for a PhD in order to go into the full-time ministry. She had gotten her master's degree in biology and was scheduled to proceed to Germany for doctoral studies. She decided to go nowhere, to remain in Kenya, to go into the full-time ministry. That's a courageous decision. She then further incurred the wrath of her mother by reaching out to her youngest sister. And her youngest sister, Victoria, became a disciple. So she's the wife of William, who was here in 2017, and they were also on that video, okay? And Victoria not only got baptized, but she ended up in the full-time ministry and ended up going out on missions. And as if that wasn't enough, my wife went and married a crazy guy, and then years later, she moved to Rwanda with this crazy guy. And she worked hard there, despite a language barrier. And so at one point, in order to help bridge that language gap, she signed up for French lessons. And guess what? She helped two of her classmates in French class to become disciples. She endured a miscarriage while we were in Rwanda. Thousands of miles away from the comfort and surroundings of family, off in a foreign land. It was difficult. If I had more time, I could explain the circumstances, but it was difficult. No phone, no money, no health insurance, no credit card, nothing, no car. And she's at home experiencing a miscarriage, and she's got to get to the hospital. But you know what? She kept on going and growing and glowing. And here's a picture of her with some of the sisters in Rwanda. And right now, today, I have a couple of maps up there. One is a map of Africa, the other is a map of North America. And today, just through Georgianne's indomitable courage and her tenacious faith, there are women and men who are and have become disciples in a whole bunch of countries. In Kenya, in Rwanda, in Tanzania, in Malawi, in South Africa, in Canada, and here in the USA. I think it takes courage and faith to persevere and let your light shine. So let's all persevere and keep our eyes on the prize. I have a question. I know it's not easy, but are you courageous? When you're faced with challenges, do you let them stop you? Do you face your challenges with faith, or allow your challenges to kill your faith? Many times I have given in to insecurity, to fear, and I've let it stop me from being the disciple of Jesus that Jesus sacrificed himself for me to be. And life's challenges are real. I wouldn't want to minimize anything that anyone goes through. You know, we're called to be courageous. And how did Jesus do it? In 1 Peter 2, verse 23, what did Jesus do? It says that when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So what did Jesus do for courage? He entrusted himself to God, who judges justly, protects lovingly, and saves completely. You know, we have all sorts of challenges. We have health challenges. We have financial struggles, family issues, legal issues, work, career, school-related challenges. You know, many times, you know, I'll hear like, you know, children of all ages in school, like the children with us this morning. Oh, I don't want to go to school. I wish I was like you, Dad, so I could go to work. Yeah, are you sure? Come do a week in my office. You might just prefer going back to school. But everybody's challenges are real. Relationship challenges. But here's the thing, that if God brings you to it, then he will see you through it. And I'd like to share with you modified lyrics to a song, Fear, He is a Liar, sung by Zach Williams. It's a Christian song. Fear tells you you're not good enough, tells you you're not right, tells you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight. Fear tells you you're not worthy, tells you you're not loved, tells you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. Fear tells you you are dirty and that you should be ashamed. Fear tells you you could be the one that grace will never change. So, cast your fear in the fire, because fear, he is a liar. James Walter Brown III is a smooth and suave speaker. He's a passionate and powerful preacher. He takes charge of the pulpit and issues forth eloquence and substance. But it hasn't always been that way. I know you've seen this picture before. I've shown this picture before. So earlier on in Kenya, early in the mission planting, Jim had just gotten to Kenya. We're there, kind of don't know what's up. We're at church, and it's time for Jim Brown to stand up and speak. And so Jim got to the pulpit, and he said, Habari za asubuhi. Okay, that's good morning in Swahili. He said, before I got up here, only God and I knew what I wanted to say. And now that I'm up here, only God knows. But he stuck to it. It's about courage. Where fear is holding us back, let's open up, let's get help, let's trust God. I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying that God provides a way out if by faith we walk with Christ, amen? And if we walk with each other hand in hand. Jesus shunned missions. And so, in honor of Jesus, at this time, we want to observe communion. I'll just take us back to a verse we read earlier. That is of first importance to recognize that Jesus died for our sins. And so let's consider Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection as Scripture directs us to do in a very dedicated and deliberate way on the first day of every week. We walk with Christ every day, but let's just focus in a very special way right now. We will take the bread and the juice representing Jesus' body, Jesus' blood. And I just want to say before we pray, I want to say merci beaucoup. I want to say muchísimas gracias. Que Dios los bendiga. Thank you, Westchester, and God bless you. Thank you for all that you do for Africa Missions. Let's pray as we take communion. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. We are humbled that you have allowed us to be disciples. Father, we consider our sin. We consider how we've fallen short. We consider how every single day we still need to come back to you. Because of our ungodliness and our unrighteousness. And God, it's at those times more than ever that we see your grace. We feel your love. And we thank you so much for Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that has allowed us to be in your kingdom, to be in your presence, and to have the hope of eternal life. As we take the bread representing Jesus' body broken on the cross, as we take the juice representing Jesus' blood, I pray, Father, that this would be our conviction, our courage, our compassion every single day to be grateful for Jesus and walk in his steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.